And we're back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we're through with that part of the triple dipper. The election deniers or the new flat earthers. Just, you know, they're just going to go ahead and keep saying it. They're going to go ahead and just impugn, as if it's an insult, you basket of deplorables, you right side ruffians. Anyway, moving on to the next one. I'm going to be talking about just 1 minute. Here comes the revenuers, all right? We'll get into that line in just a moment, but I got to tell you, breaking news off of the whole Trump Mar-a-Lago raid. And the breaking news is that the warrant was unsealed. So I will say, first of all, it was not going to be unsealed unless Trump agreed. He not only agreed, he insisted. So, yeah. So Merrick Garland came out yesterday and said, well, because he's spoken about it, we feel the need to go ahead and file a motion to have the court unseal it. And the court came back and said, hey, Merrick Garland, you need to prove, first of all, that the defendant in this case, it was not really a case, but you know what I'm saying, the searched victim, if you will, he's okay with that. Well, Trump's out there on social media within an hour or two going, not only do I agree with it, it needs to happen. So, yep, it's out. I'm looking at it right now. I'm scrolling through it. So I find several things interesting. First of all, I find it interesting that it was signed by the judge at noon on Friday. Noon on Friday. When was the search? I think the search was, what, Monday? So this is really important. I mean, they were really worried. I mean, because you do these raids like this because you're scared they're going to wind up, you know, destroying the evidence or something's going to happen. Grab the mic, Boomer. But I can see the look on your face.
That's my thought. It's like Friday, you would think they would want to try to get it quick because they're, like you just said, nervous that somebody's going to shred, put it on fire, you know, move it, whatever.
Yeah, hide it, squirrel it away somewhere, put it down a rabbit hole. But I'm looking at it right now. They're at the date and time issued, signed by Judge Bruce Reinhart, August 5th, 2022 at 12:12 p.m. So that's noonish in West Palm. And it was, by the way, it wasn't like this happened in D.C. and there was a transmittal issue. It was right there in the same area. So they got a local judge. He signed the warrant on Friday. And then
after you signed the warrant, they could go.
I guess they had some place to be over the weekend.
Oh, they probably had plans.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I mean, it is close to the beach.
There is that. It goes on to talk about what's to be searched. First of all, it specifies, I'm looking at it, it says the location to be searched included what they called the 45 office. That's, you know, Trump was president number 45. So it has the 45 office, all storage rooms and all other rooms or areas within the premises and or available to be used by, and they call it FPOTUS, that means the former president of the United States and his staff, in which boxes or documents could be stored. Well, that's going to be everywhere, including all structures or buildings on the estate. Okay. When you go down to the attachment that shows what property is to be seized, it describes it under certain aspects of 18 U.S. Code, Section 793, 2071, 1519, and it says that they want certain documents that could be identified with classification markings. They want information including communications, including in any form, it says, regarding national defense. It also says they wanted any government or presidential records created between, and it has the dates of his entire term, and any evidence of the knowing alteration, destruction, or concealment of any such record. So I'm looking at this thing. Here's the thing. Attached to it is the receipt for the property. These are the things they took. And we're learning now that it is somewhere in the neighborhood of, I think, 33 boxes. I don't know how big the boxes were. I'm picturing those kind of boxes, like we call them banker boxes. Yeah, the kind that have the holes inside, you grab it. And yeah. So I don't know. But anyway, I believe 33 boxes. What was in those boxes? Well, let me just read you a few. One was the executive grant of clemency for Roger Stone. Okay. One was info regarding the president of France. One was a leather-bound box of other documents. Doesn't specify. It does say, item 2A, various classified TSSCI documents. TSSCI. Now, I had a TSSCI clearance, and that means that's top secret, and I believe it's secure compartmented information. So something like, anyway, the bottom line is TSSCI is a very high clearance. These are national security level TS documents. However, I still go back to the point that they got some uphill climbing to do here because they took documents relative to his time in office. Oh, by the way, he was the one who determined whether things were declassified or not. So if he ever produces a document somewhere that says, here's where I signed off and said declass, how do you like me now? There's nothing they can say or do about it. He was the boss. He was the guy. Now, if they come back and say, well, here's the one that has the nuclear codes on it. Why did you take that? Then he might have some explaining to do. But I don't think that's going to wind up happening. They got things on there like they have one labeled a potential presidential record. They don't know. They just took it. A binder of photos. Another binder of photos. One handwritten note. I don't know what that would be. I mean, it goes on. It's very general. Miscellaneous secret documents. Miscellaneous top secret documents. Miscellaneous. So am I concerned? Certainly I would be concerned about clearance level documents. I do question, though, the veracity of this raid. I question the way this went down. For those who don't know the backstory, do know this. Trump's team and Trump himself were cooperating with the authorities from the archives who were curious about these documents he had taken. They sent him a subpoena, and they met in June at Mar-a-Lago. He said, here's what I got. They said, where is it? They showed them the storage room. And they said, well, we think you ought to put a lock on that storage room. So he put a lock on the storage room. They knew exactly where they were. He didn't move them from that spot. They were still there. And then, because he's a billionaire, he has multiple houses, he and his family left hot Florida and went north where it's cooler for the summer. And they're at their place in, I think it's what, is it called Bedford, New Jersey? Anyway, they're at their other, one of their other resorts. They're living at one of their other places. So it was so important that he didn't move it. It was so important he didn't digitize it and then hide the thumb drive. It was so important that he didn't, like, you know, bury it in the backyard. It was so important he didn't light up a burn barrel and get rid of it. He left it right where he said it was. And he'd been cooperating the whole time. And what did they do? They sent they sent dozens of FBI agents to scour his house under a warrant signed by a judge on something he had been cooperating with. And I got news. If we find, I'll be the, if they find something in there that's damning that we don't think they just planted, which at this point, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but at this point you have to look at it and go, who knows? I do not trust a Merrick Garland led DOJ right now. It's tough for me to say that. I love the rank and file. I believe there's honorable men and women that are serving in the ranks of our FBI and our Department of Justice. And I believe that there are some knuckleheads up top who want nothing more than just to crush the idea of Trump ever running for president again, and they'll do anything. Never mind the fact that President Obama took 33 million documents with him to Chicago for his library. The archives didn't freak out over that, did they? Never mind the fact that Hillary Clinton had a private server in her house where she was conducting State Department business, much of which was classified, and then deleted the emails on it. And oh, by the way, one of her staff took a hammer and destroyed the hard drive so they couldn't investigate it. Did they raid her house? No. What about Sandy Berger, who used to work for President Bill Clinton, who, when the 9/11 Commission wanted to know whether or not there had been any information in the Clinton administration's hands that would indicate they knew where Osama bin Laden was before 9/11, what did he do? He went to the archives. He removed some key documents. He stuffed them in his socks, literally stuffed them in his socks. I'm not kidding. Look up Sandy Berger socks documents. He pled to a misdemeanor and a fine. Did they raid his house? No. No, they didn't. This has, if they wonder why we're concerned, it's because of the absolutely ridiculously over-the-top appearance of there being a double standard. If they wonder why we look at this and go, I just don't think this is legit, it's because of the way they conduct themselves and because of the way this seems to fall in line with other egregious abuses. Brought to you by the same people with the Russia collusion effort. Brought to you by the same people who paid for the Steele dossier. Brought to you by the same people who have wasted our time with the January 6th Commission for over a year. That's why we question. If they find something legit and they can prove that it was there when they went in and it shouldn't have been, we'll deal with it. And if we have to be sad because President Trump did something wrong, we will. But for right now, the man who could declassify documents had documents that they knew he had. And he told them where they were, and they said, just put a lock on it. And then they came back and raided his house. If that's not bait and switch, I don't know what is. You got a caller for me, bud? What's going on there? Nope. All right. Somebody call in, just give you a word about something. Boomer's over here enjoying whatever moment that was. All right. Boomer, take us to a break, man. We'll come back and start number two of the Triple Dipper. It is that time. 3:45 on a Friday afternoon. Wow. This show is going by fast. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on all of North Alabama. That's us. Hey, I got a caller online. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens. How are you doing today, my friend?
Hi there, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoyed having you here in the studio yesterday, and I think a few people even called and got information on how to buy your book after the interview.
You mentioned that, and I want to thank you for your kindness toward me, and I enjoyed myself thoroughly, and I have a story from the Just Can't Make This Stuff Up department, if you're interested.
All right, what you got?
Okay. I'm going to obfuscate this to protect identities. I have a family member who was tapped to be National Security Advisor in the first Clinton administration, and thank God, turned it down.
Wow.
But the fellow who did decide to assume that particular position, sorry, play on words, was Sandy Berger.
Right,
who
right.
Who at a family gathering jumped all over me for my decision to homeschool my children. And you can imagine... And I know you understand this because you stood in line in the defects in Iraq and were watching the news and were just boggled by what was being said. You can imagine what it was like for me to be standing in line for breakfast and watching the late news coming on live and seeing this rather rumpled-looking Sandy Berger somehow trying to justify the docs that he put in his socks that he took from the archive. My point is this.
Yeah.
One of my biggest changes in my mind was when we would see stuff like this happen with impunity, you would always have this feeling of, surely they're a little bit looking over their shoulder. Surely they're thinking, come on, man. You lie that much, don't you think you're going to get busted? I am personally convinced that there is a level of denial, whether you want to call it spiritual or psychological thing or hubris or whatever, but they genuinely don't think they're going to get caught. And when they do, it's kind of like, what are you looking at? It's just a weird... It's just the weirdest thing. And what I'm getting at, I think our most recent example of having the news narrative crafted and then repeated so many times that, of course, you're going to believe it, was with Russia collusion. You had Adam Schiff day after day saying, we're days away from having solid proof. And so you're thinking, okay, they must have something. That right there is what they are planning on you believing. So... how confident does it make us feel that it's almost 20 months into the Biden administration and they are just now in the process of rescuing the supposed nuclear code?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, any way you slice this, it's just a train wreck. And you got to have your popcorn and ask for extra butter.
Yes. And I love the phrase, What are you looking at, man? That's exactly, that's the attitude they have. What are you looking at? I mean, it's just, it's unreal. By the way, my wife just texted me and said she also read that a few years later, Sandy Berger got his security clearance back. Can you imagine?
No, say it isn't so.
You know what? What are you looking at, Allie? What are you looking at?
Yeah. All right. Exactly.
All right, my friend. You have a great weekend.
Thank you again.
All right, thank you. We'll see you. Wow. What'd you have, Boomer? You were on the phone with somebody calling in. What was the deal there?
Yeah, it was a first-time caller. They didn't want to come on the air, but you know, they were talking about Trump supporters. You know, a lot of them are thinking that they want DeSantis to be our front runner. And his comment was, is that what they're really putting out on media? Because that's what they want us to do. And he said, I'd like to have Trump for another 4 years and the DeSantis for eight. He was more stating that. And is that what, the media wants us to do right now and really just go after DeSantis, right now, instead of, really promoting Trump again.
I get it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what? There's any number of narratives that they're trying to spin, and the truth be told, their goal is just to basically undermine confidence. I think in one form or fashion or another, their goal at the very least is to undermine confidence in the processes, to undermine confidence in the candidates, to undermine confidence just in the value of our way of life, our systems, our infrastructure. I mean, it seems like at every turn right now, they want you to believe we're systemically racist. They want you to believe that we're, that there's no honor in being an American. They want you to believe that the United States military is not the vaunted capability that it's always been. It boggles the mind. And I think part of that's what the whole elections issue has been. It's like if you can go with my train of thought here, maybe I had too much caffeine, I don't know. But the reality is, it's like COVID. The fear of COVID became as much an issue to me in many ways, in a cultural sense, as the actual COVID did in terms of being an illness to the individual. They're doing this with elections. They're doing it with daring us to like Trump. They're calling us election deniers. How dare you be a climate change denier? And it's all about eroding confidence in who you are. Well, answer their questions with a question. There's my second monologue of the day. I did do a monologue on that like a week or two ago, as a matter of fact. They will come at you, and a lot of times it's asking a question or challenging the very basis of you, not your issues, but you.
And they make you second guess.
Yeah, and that's the goal, is to make you second guess. If they can undermine or erode the position you're standing on, not the position itself, just your ability to stand on it. Mm. Why would you believe such a thing? What do you do with that? It's like all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, either A, I know why I'm standing here, ask me again, or B, oh, maybe I shouldn't be. Am I standing in the right spot? That's what they're trying to do.
I mean, that's kind of like me just the other day when I did the calculator. And I thought I was completely wrong, and you looked at me with those eyes.
Well, but dude, I was in the same place you were. We were both running the numbers during the break trying to figure out what in God's name happened.
And we were right.
And we were right.
And we were right. I'm going to stand firm next time. Sorry, I took it there.
You did.
But that, I mean, yeah, made me second guess it.
And you know what? We can't do that.
Right.
We have to know that upon which we stand. And it may be a matter of our faith. It may be a principle of conservatism. It may be a belief in the systems of our government. Mm. It may be a belief in liberty and constitutional values. But you know, Scripture says very clearly, I think it's 1 Peter 3:15, that we should be ready at all times to give an accounting for what we believe. Mm. It's talking about faith, but I believe you can transcend that to other things. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Birmingham, we love you. Huntsville, we're still here for another hour. Birmingham, you got my buddy Greg Davis with Priority Talk. We'll see you soon.
listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
All right, Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. We got all the issues, man, local, state, national. We're covering down. Remember, you were wondering if I was going to say anything at all, weren't you? I was enjoying the bump so much.
I was. I saw you open your mouth. I'm like, did I miss something? Is it on? And then I was like, oh, he just doesn't say anything.
No, the guitar was hitting just right, so I just had to stay with it for a minute. That was just where I was at. By the way, folks, we are live streaming the show, and appreciate those of y'all that are tuned in. More people kind of catching hold of the fact that we are now live streaming. You can see the show. I had somebody the other day that actually showed the – they sent me a screenshot showing my live stream up on their big screen TV, and that's cool. But anyway, nonetheless, we are there. If you want to, you can definitely tune in. Just go to rightsideradio.org, go to the Listen Live and Podcasting tab, and there's a place on there where you can just click right in. I mean, there's no need to have to hunt us down on the YouTube platform. We've already got it based for you right there at the rightsideradio.org website. What you got, Boomer? You got a commentary? What was that?
Yeah, so we got a commentary on the YouTube channel, and it just said, hey, just want to give you a shout-out and just tell you you have the best show in Alabama. Congrats on syndicating and live stream. That was Devin.
That was Devin.
Yes.
Devin, if you're still watching, thanks, man. Appreciate it very much. We aim to please, but we're glad we do please. So that's great to hear. Appreciate the comments. All right, I'm going to go to number two in the triple dipper. We'll see if I get to three, but it's Friday. And if you want to call in, love to have the calls, 833-68-RIGHT. We'll take commentary. We did a total aside there a little while ago. We went down the path of what happened with the Mar-a-Lago raid. We talked about the warrant that has now been unsealed in the last hour. The contents of the receipt for the things that the FBI took out of the house. Very generic, but it labels the fact that there was, you know, documents that were classified. Talked all about that, and then kind of got into a thing about, you know, what liberals think about us. Did the whole first section on election denial, the fact that liberals think that we are like flat earthers if we dare to question the elections. They even got one website that I found that's tracking to see how many out there are running for office saying they are election deniers. I mean, so what? You mean, oh, that's right. You mean you want people to run for office that don't ask questions? The kind that, you know, what you want is you want a lot of sheep that will just fall in line and say, whatever, we don't question. We're just here to, like, collect the government paycheck. Doesn't work that way. All right, you call in, talk about any of it. 833-68-RIGHT. I'm headed down a new path right now. Number two on the triple dipper, here come the revenuers. So if you're not familiar, maybe it's a Southern thing, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it's a Southern thing that we down here know about, and maybe y'all don't up some other places. But revenuers, for years it was like the thing. If you were a bootlegger, then the guys who came from the government trying to shut you down, they were the revenuers. Why? Because they worked for the revenue department, the IRS. And so revenuers, they were law enforcement officials who tried to catch people making and selling liquor illegally. And so, you know, if you were out there stirring up the white lightning and you were a revenuer and you came in, it was not good. And I've got a friend that lives on a place called Six Foot Road. And I asked him one time, I said, why is it called Six? I mean, I've heard of like 6 Mile Road or, you know, or 4 Mile Post or whatever. But Six Foot Road? He said, yeah, apparently back here, this was bootleg country. And if you showed up around here and you weren't supposed to be from around here, you might wind up 6 foot under. And I said, are you kidding me? He goes, no, that's why it's named. So, but yeah, the revenuers. The IRS is beefing up like nothing we have ever seen before. The IRS just got a huge potential tranche coming their way if the House passes the bill that the Senate passed the other day. Literally, an $80 billion, with a B, $80 billion boost to double the size of the IRS. They're talking about hiring upwards of 87,000 new IRS agents. The issues that we have with that are layered. I'm talking about lots of issues. But on top of that, there's also a lot of controversy surrounding what are they going to do besides auditing and making people's lives miserable and certainly coming after the middle class, because there's not that many billionaires for them to go after with 87,000. On top of, by the way, the 60-some-odd thousand they have now. I mean, the IRS, by the way, the IRS is going to be bigger than the Marine Corps. That's where we're at. The IRS will, if this passes, if they do this, if they are able to hire to this level, the IRS will be larger than the United States Marine Corps. That's unconscionable to me. But then online job posting just came out, caused a lot of consternation. An online job posting for a job with the IRS posted on the IRS's website. We talked about it on the air the other day, but here now it got widespread knowledge now. An online job posting for special agents with the law enforcement branch of the Internal Revenue Service is causing a stir on social media, says Fox Business, dated August 10th. That's 2 days ago. A link to a job posting for a, quote, criminal investigation special agent appears to have been briefly deleted, but then it was apparently put back up. They must be able to legally allowed to carry a firearm, and their major duties would include, quote, carrying a firearm and being willing to use deadly force if necessary. Be willing to participate in arrests and execution of search warrants and other dangerous assignments. The deadly force if necessary thing got a lot of attention. The IRS. I don't picture IRS auditors kicking down your door. What is it they're looking for here? If they're posting a jobs hunt, they have zero ability to read the room right now. Either that or they could care less. Do I have a caller on line? I'm sorry. Let me just jump over there and do that real quick. Line three, Robert from Athens, how you doing?
Hey, I'm okay. I wanted to remind everybody about the 2016 election and what happened back then. Hillary was obviously in trouble over her emails. During the election, Trump reminded everybody that she ought to be prosecuted, and that's when the Russia hoax was manufactured. It was manufactured to protect Hillary, okay? The impeachment of Trump was to stop him from prosecuting Hillary. And one by one, the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, all of our institutions, the people who headed those institutions, invested their integrity into this mania of protecting Hillary. If the country goes into a civil war, it will be because of protecting Hillary.
Interesting. I love the phrase you just used. They invested their integrity. And their integrity is certainly in question based upon the number of falsehoods that we found out in that whole mess. Robert, good call, man. Is he already gone? He's there. Right. Robert, hey, good call, man. Thank you so much. Well, you have a great weekend. Thanks for being in the audience. All right. He's not wrong. The invested their integrity, that's a great phrase. I have to give credit to Robert from Athens. If I steal that one later, it's because I heard it from him. But they did. They invested their integrity in trying to take down Trump. Whatever it takes, we don't care. What is the weird magic spell the Clintons have? I've never gotten that. I mean, it's like, you know, they're both made of Teflon. Do anything they want to and get away with it. I mean, Bill Clinton even goes and gets on the plane with who was that? Was it the Attorney General? I'm just trying to think. Janet Reno? No, hang on a second. I'll think of it in a minute, and I apologize. But you know, this you look at the level of impunity with which they act, the things that they've done, you know, and the fact that weird stuff happens to people who might be in their wheelhouse who could say the wrong thing at the wrong time to the right people. I mean, just know this. If you're in Hillary's circle, you better stay inside the circle. Getting outside the circle is a place where you no longer have protection and you can be targeted. All right, going back to my topic at hand, the IRS is expanding. Here come the revenuers. That's what we're doing with. So what are they going to do? Well, right now, if this bill passes, by the way, I think it was delayed. There was talk of it coming to a vote as early as today. Oh, wait. Oh, they are. Hang on a second. It's up right now. Dadgum, that was amazing. I said that, and it came up on the screen. They are trying to bring it to a vote right now. Did it just pass? House is voting as we speak. I'll keep you posted on this because that's going to tell us whether or not we have 87,000 new IRS agents to worry about. So the IRS Criminal Investigation Special Agent job announcement continues to be open on USA Jobs, which is the website. If you want a federal job, you go to USA Jobs, said an IRS spokesperson. The announcement has been open for since February, they say. But the uproar is now legit when you consider what they're doing with hiring. We can't even recruit for the U.S. military effectively right now. We are having a heck of a time getting a military force in place that meets the milestones that have been set for force projection. They can't meet mission, period. And yet they're going to turn around and hire 87,000. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, the IRS employees are unionized, and the union at the IRS has overwhelmingly supported Democrat candidates in recent years. There's that. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll go ahead and do that break right now. We will be right back, and we will talk more Right Side stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Watch out, y'all. Revenuers are coming. I had to let it play, Boomer. Right Side Radio, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio here in the Right Side Studios. Solid conservative and just plain right. We are spanning across North Alabama, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I mean, here it is, 4:23 p.m. I'm just now in number two. You want to call in, we'll take calls, 833-68-RIGHT on a Friday afternoon. 833-68-RIGHT. So, story off of News Nation Now. NewsNationNow.com, dated August 8th. As we wait with bated breath to see whether or not they have the votes in the House, which I believe, I'm sure they do. They wouldn't bring it to a vote if they didn't think they did. With 87,000 new agents, who will the IRS be looking at? Well, under the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, that's the bill we're talking about, the Internal Revenue Service will spend an extra 79.6, just rounded up to 80. What's a little extra? Over the next 10 years, $79.6 billion, over the next 10 years to help the agency dig out of a backlog of unprocessed paper returns and staff up to take aim at the country's highest earners. Sure they will. But here's the deal. The article from News Nation Now goes on to say that a recent study from Syracuse University found that the poorest families were audited at a rate five times higher than everyone else. The poorest families. The figure compared to just the 2% of millionaires that were audited. Listen, here's the deal. It's easier to go after the folks who can't afford to pay the lawyers and CPAs to help them defend the audit. So they go after them. And so, yeah, five times higher rate of auditing on the poorest families in America. What do you think is going to happen when they have 87,000? And oh, by the way, they're going to have 87,000, a lot of which are going to be newbies. Newbies who are being trained, and so what are they going to do? Are they going to give them a millionaire who can afford to fight it and make the newbie look bad? No. They're going to say, here, take these four or five mom-and-pop shops and take these families, working stiff families and the single moms. Go audit them for a few years and earn your bones. And that's what they'll do. They'll go out there and prove themselves so they can get the big-ticket audits later on. I'll just mark my words. This is a recipe for disaster. Epoch Times, dated August 10th. Epoch Times headline is IRS commissioner says the agency is absolutely not increasing its audit scrutiny on small businesses and middling, so they're denying it. This is their mantra. It's not gonna happen. Why would we do that? The IRS has said it will absolutely not be increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans amid concerns over the Inflation Reduction Act, which provides $80 billion in IRS funding. including part of that is like over half of that, $45.6 billion, is for enforcement. IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig made the comments in a letter to members of the Senate on August 4th, in which he stated that the extra resources will, quote, get us back to historical norms and areas of challenge for the agency. In other words, we can't do our jobs. We want to double in size. If you are so bad off that you have to double your employee base to just do the things you're supposed to be doing now, I mean, come on. No one believes that. Says the resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans. As we've been planning, our investment of these enforcement resources, is designed around the Department of the Treasury's directive that audit rates will not rise relative to recent years for households making under $400,000. K. Nobody believes that. Not for a second. I got some calls coming in. Hey, Boomer, I'm going to grab line three there. Line three, Joey from Athens. Joey, how you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Oh, man, it's kind of like a hypothetical question. I'm going to ask it, then I'll get off here. But my question to you about the IRS thing is, what's the odds of them hiring all these agents, right, to collect these taxes from all these illegal aliens that they've allowed to come over here and haven't paid a lick of taxes since they've been here? We all know the answer to it, but I'm just throwing that one at you, buddy. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, you too, man. That's an interesting. Do we think they even know where they are? Hey, Joey, thanks for the call, man. Do we think they even know where these folks are? I mean, how can you collect taxes? I saw a business deal the other day, and I won't name names or anything, obviously, but it was obvious that something was up because the owners of the restaurant are looking at selling, but they don't want their names on the sales documents. What? Okay, something's up with that. I got another caller, Boomer. Line one, Kent from Decatur. Hang on a second, Boomer. Give me the Wayman sign. Are you good? No? All right. I'll go when you say go, bud. I don't know what he's doing. Boomer's having a fit with some. Throw it against the wall. That'll help. You good?
Not yet.
Okay. The phones are malfunctioning. This is not good. It's a Friday afternoon. We need people. I'm going to tell everybody to call it. You good now? Line one, Kent from Decatur. Kent, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I heard you talking about the IRS and all the new agents going to be armed with deadly force.
Yeah.
I've got a theory, and I'd like to pose the theory to you and get your comments, and just maybe you can tell me I'm crazy. But I think it's been the Democrats' dream and fantasy for a long time to have a national police force.
Ooh.
And I think this is their sneaky way. They're claiming they're going to go after all the billionaires and their typical class warfare. I heard Tucker Carlson talking recently about all the ammunition that the IRS has been buying for quite a while. And why do they need all that ammunition?
I get it, man. And I hate it, but the music's playing. We're up against a hard break.
Okay.
No
problem.
No, that's a great point. And I tell you what, I'll talk about that when I get back from the break. Thanks for the call. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Half an hour left. We'll be right back.
Are sacred and should not be overlooked.
And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and Just plain right. All right. Hey, listen, by the way, my last caller, I hate that we ran up against a break, but I appreciate the call. He was talking about a national police force and whether or not this IRS growth is like a backdoor way of creating the national police force. You know, it's an interesting point. I will say, I mean, I would guess that you'd have to say the FBI technically is the national police force. And we have the Coast Guard, which is technically part of the Department of Homeland Security that roams the coast. And then we have the CBP on our border. We have national level policing authorities already. I don't think anybody, though, had ever thought about the IRS having this level of policing authority. I mean, to me, the IRS are, you know, a bunch of paper pushers, number crunchers, making sure that the I's are dotted, T's are crossed, the decimal points are in the right place. But this does not feel like that. But yeah, thanks for the call on the National Police Force idea. That's interesting. That it brings up a whole new dialogue when you think about the National Police Force, including a huge arm of armed IRS revenuers. Story on CNBC dated August 9th, which would be what, just early this week. With the IRS hiring more employees, here's who agents may target for audits. All right, so our biggest worry, it says in this article, this is Representative Kevin Brady, a Republican from Texas. He told CNBC's Squawk Box, he said, our biggest worry in this is that the burden for these audits is going to land on the Walmart shoppers. You know, this the average Joe and Jane, all right? He says, overall, IRS, well, the article says, overall, IRS audits, they plunged by 44% between fiscal years 2015 and 2019. Oh, look. The Trump era. Anyway, IRS audits went down 44% during those years, according to a 2021 Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration report. Within the overall drop of 44%, it actually, when you break it out by income levels, it was a 75% drop on millionaires. It was a 33% drop on low to moderate income followers, even people who use the earned income tax credit, which is, you know, real common. So what we're saying here is, even in the times in which the IRS was less active in terms of pursuing people for audits, they were less active against the poor. they're still the easy target. I guess. I mean, they're still literally the easy target, and so they're going after them harder and faster, and they dropped 75% of the millionaire audits during those 4-year period, but only 33% drop in the lower income. That's just unconscionable to me. You know what that tells me, though, is that's because it's the low-hanging fruit. That's because they know that the low and middle income folks can't afford to hire the people that it takes to actually, you know, help them beat back the audit that's coming their way. If they think for a second that we believe that adding 87,000 more IRS agents is going to make us feel like, well, it's okay because they're only going after those ruthless billionaires. It's just making, they got to pay their fair share, man. I'm laughing, but it's not going to be funny because you know what's going to happen? It's like I said a moment ago, they're going to hire a whole slew of newbies. They're going to start hiring people right out of, you know, their college and got their degree in accounting. They don't know what to do with it, so they get a government job, and they join the ranks of the IRS, and they're given a gun they don't know how to shoot, I guess. And then the next thing you know, they're going to be sitting there auditing, but they're going to be like, I'm still new. I don't even know. What do I do? I got to do spreadsheets? How do I do this? And then they're going to go, look, man, you're not going to wind up doing the millionaires, billionaires. You got to earn your bones. So here's your stack. Here's your stack of files. These little people right here can't fight back. Make a name for yourself. We'll promote you up later on when you're comfortable. That's what's going to happen. 87,000 newbies needing low-level targets because that's what they can do. That's their skill level. So they'll start auditing like crazy on people that can't fight back. You watch. Federalist wrote an article August 9th, which would be, what, Monday? Biden's IRS is about to become very acquainted with your money. So there's a cute little idea being pushed by the Democrats, the government workers, and the media that the appalling $80 billion that Congress just awarded the IRS will be used to crack down on high-income tax evaders and not, they promise, on middle-class filers. And then he says, I'll give you a moment to stop laughing. It's laughing, but it's like sad laughing. It's like, oh, crap. He says, you know what assurance you have that the IRS will be taking a closer look at people with yachts rather than minivans? It's just the word of the IRS itself. And he goes on to quote Commissioner Chuck Rettig, who said, quote, these resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans. Sure. Sure, IRS man. I got news, folks. Here come the revenuers. That's where we are. You want to call in? We'll take it. 833-68-RIGHT. How do you feel about knowing that your IRS is going to be bigger than the Marine Corps? How do you feel about knowing that the IRS, and most recently, there's an actual inventory list showing that they've stockpiled 5 million rounds of ammunition and that their job posting site says they're hiring special agents who must be willing to use deadly force if necessary? IRS. This is like, these are the revenuers, and they're going to show up in the dark of night and do what? Last story I've got here, this one came from CBN. I was just getting into it during the break. I realized I hadn't highlighted this one. But CBN says congressional Democrats are on the cusp of doubling the size of the Internal Revenue Service. Oh, my gosh. The bill is set to more than double the IRS's current workforce, making it one of the largest federal agencies and increasing its budget by roughly 600%. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer praised the bill, saying, I am confident the Inflation Reduction Act will endure as one of the defining legislative feats of the 21st century. Yeah, defining. What kind of definition are we looking at here, Chuck? But it's just, it boggles my mind that they would see this as being the right. And by the way, talk about can't read the room. If they think for a second, they got a mandate from they didn't get a mandate. They skated by with the narrowest of margins on an election that people are still questioning. They didn't get a mandate. It was a dead heat. And I just feel like they're on a roll right now to scramble for as much as they can possibly do. I got a caller, Boomer. Okay, he already went. All right. Do you have something to say? Are you going to repeat it? Or is it just like one of those things you can't repeat on the air? Boomer says, we'll chat. All right, folks, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Call on in. It's a Friday afternoon. How do you feel about the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service? Wow. Something else. Hey, before we go to the break, I got to tell you, it's Friday afternoon. And you may be thinking, you know, Saturday morning, we deserve to do something special, something different. Maybe it's time to go to Just Love Coffee Cafe. That's what I'm saying. Just Love Coffee Cafe with two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville out near Whole Foods. So Just Love Coffee Cafe, first of all, they got a great atmosphere. You can hang out. You can use their Wi-Fi. I remember they have games and books on the shelves at the Madison location. And it's just kind of cool. But you can also, oh, by the way, get some amazing food and some amazing coffees. Like Charlene calls them the treat coffees. You got the cappuccinos, the lattes, the espressos, good stuff. They also got just amazing award-winning dry roast. They'll grind the beans for you right there on the spot, make you a cup of light roast, dark roast, medium roast. But the food. Here's what I'm saying. Saturday morning, you wake up, you sitting around in your flannel pants, and you say to yourself, I want something to eat, but I don't feel like messing up the kitchen. But I ain't going to eat a bowl of cereal. You know what we're doing? Honey, get the car keys. We're going to Just Love Coffee Cafe. And you head on down and you get yourself, I don't know, how about the bacon tater? The bacon tater, it's a hash brown waffle. A hash brown waffle. With cheddar cheese and bacon sprinkled with black pepper served with a side of sour cream or ketchup. How about the sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit they got, which ain't normal, by the way. This ain't your normal sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. They even serve it with a side of sausage gravy. Or how about the womelet? Eggs, sausage, cheddar cheese, onions, peppers, tomatoes, tots, sprinkled with black pepper. I'm going to do an entire segment. I got a whole triple dipper segment on just the menu at Just Love Coffee Cafe. Head on down. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road and Madison. South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, listen, I think we got to go to a break there, Boomer. Do I have time for a call, Boomer? Give me the thumb. We do? Okay, let's do that. I'll tell you what. I got to call line one, Terry from Hartzell. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. I just want to make a quick comment. While everyone's distracted with the 87,000 new IRS agents, I'm wondering why they're not talking about what else is in that bill that we're not talking about. I've just kind of found that the government uses a lot of good distractions and the media runs with it, and then they're kind of doing that sleight of hand thing behind everybody's back.
That's a great question. You know, I had an entire list of what all was in that bill. A chunk of it, like a huge amount of it, is climate change. They've got, like, I want to say half of the spending in there is related to climate change overall. It's the green energy stuff. The Green New Deal got slipped in on us after all, Terry, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so as you start spending too much money on gas, commuting to work, you have someone to come after you now.
It sounds like it. And also, by the way, Terry, while you're on the phone with me, I'm looking up on the screen. It looks like breaking news is the bill just passed in the House, so it's going to go to President Biden for signature is what it looks like.
Outstanding.
Yeah, wonderful. Hey, Terry, thanks. Have a great weekend. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, man. We will go. So, yeah, breaking news as we're heading out the door here for a moment. House passes Dems sweeping health care, tax, and climate bill. Wonderful. Green New Deal got passed after all. Build Back Broker is where we are. 87,000 new IRS agents coming your way. Here come the revenuers. That's what I'm saying. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, coming right back. Y'all stay tuned. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you real quick before I go on to this breaking news we got. I was talking to the folks at ZLA Solutions yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I think I said on the air yesterday, they just had one of their biggest months ever. I mean, when I say that they are good at putting people back to work, it's amazing. So they're doing a bang-up job of it right now. If you're looking for a job yourself, if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. They got jobs posted all over North Alabama. Good ones, high-paying jobs. But if you're also, by the way, just, you know, an employer, not just, if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, then absolutely go to ZLAUSA.com. Start a relationship with them. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, blue collar, white collar, no collar, don't matter. I'm just saying, ZLAUSA.com. That's the website at ZLA Solutions. Their thing is, too, by the way, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it. We just make it better, because that's their goal in life, is to help you make your business better. So check them out, ZLAUSA.com. Got a call on line one, Boomer? We do indeed. All right. Oh, is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. What you doing, bud?
Hey, Phil. Doing pretty good.
Good. What's on your mind?
Let me enlighten you on something on these 87,000 IRS agents. You know, they're going to be coming out of college and everything.
Yeah.
What percentage of those do you think will be conservative?
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
And it, never heard of the IRS being weaponized before, have you?
Not once. I can't remember anybody named Lois Lerner who chose to weaponize against conservatives. That just never happens, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you going to do with 87,000 more of them? They're going to be looking into every little detail on every 501C, you know.
I mean, if they can get away with body cavity searches to find your tax dollars, they'll do it. Did I say that?
And they've been apparently armed real well this time, you know. So, like you say, they're going to be a bunch of goofies out there with guns and and a badge, basically.
It just boggles the mind. Well, they just passed the bill. I don't know if you saw that or not, Jeff, but they just literally passed the bill in the last 5 minutes. So it did pass. It's going to the president, and it's going to happen.
I just hope that we can overturn this thing somehow or another. Of course, you know how government works. Once something goes through, once the camel gets his nose under the tent, it's a done deal.
That's exactly right. Hey, Jeff, you have a great weekend, man. You take care, all right?
You too, Phil. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Yeah, so the breaking news on that, if you want to call in, I got time for one or two more calls, 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. But yeah, the breaking news is that just in the last 5-10 minutes, House Democrats passed the $739 billion Manchin-Schumer spending and tax increase bill. Here we are in a recession. Here we are in a recession with inflation rates that are beyond anything we've seen in 40 years. Here we are where bacon is at a 17% increase over what it was last year. Here we are at a place where supply chain has got people scrambling trying to find baby formula and diapers. Here we are where gas prices are at epic levels. All said and done, the House Democrats thought it'd be a great idea to join with the Senate Democrats and pass a $739 billion spending and tax increase bill. Caller a little while ago asked what all is in this bill. My recollection was correct that a huge chunk of this goes to climate change issues. It's also, by the way, how can I forget this? It includes a tax increase. That's one of the things it includes. It's not just that it's upfunding Obamacare because they can't. It's not sustainable. They're having to put more money into Obamacare. It's upfunding the Green New Deal. It's funding all this IRS growth. It's also, by the way, has a tax hike built into it. It's unbelievable. It passed on a purely partisan vote line. All Republicans voted against it. All Democrats voted for it. So there you have it. Listen, the only way out of this is not only for House and Senate to come back to the Republican side in the November election, but also for there to be strong leadership. We can't have any more of the feckless go-along-to-get-along leadership, the kind of leadership that gets taken advantage of by the Democrats at every turn, the kind of leadership that goes, well, I just think that was a bad thing for them to do, and I wish they hadn't done that. Well, I got news. It's time to say, you know what? Enough. Enough. We can, you know, the appropriation power of Congress means that they have the power of the purse. They can go after this thing if they want to. They can unfund certain things. They can decide to go ahead and say, we repeal that. But they've got to have the brass to do it. And I see individual members that I think do, but the people that are in leadership are the ones who set the agenda and whip the votes. And folks, we've got to start getting some leadership in there that is like my monologue yesterday was lead, follower, get out of the way. We need some people who have that kind of attitude when it comes to conservative principles being enacted at our state legislature and in our U.S. Congress and Senate. We've got to have them. They've got to be more than just figureheads and people who collect a paycheck. They've got to be, and I'm not saying they all are. I'm really not. There's some amazing people that are currently in office doing amazing things. But too often they have to fly solo or in small groups. We are beyond the need for people who are willing to look at the situation at hand, to be aware of their times, to recognize they may have been called for such a time as this, and get at it. Because if we don't start seeing a change, we're gonna see more bills like this that are going to do nothing but make our lives more difficult and grow government and crush the idea of liberty to the individual citizen. There's my third monologue of the day, Boomer. Just take it for what it's worth, man. All right. Well, listen, it's been a great week. It's been a full week. We've had some amazing guests on this week. We've had some great response from the callers. Boomer, I think the phones rang off the hook this week, did they not?
Off the hook. Well, it's been awesome.
And you're going home to see your little man who had his first day at school.
Yep. Can't wait to hear. It's going to be great to hear about it.
I look forward to the stories. In fact, if there's any pictures, I want them.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Listen, folks, coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Boomer and I are back here at 2 o'clock on Monday. You guys have an amazing weekend. Take heart. Take heart. There's more of us than there are of them. We can get this done. We'll see you soon.